This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're talking about the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Yeehaw! Yes! And it's rodeo time!
That's right. Today is actually the last day of the rodeo.
And?
A lot of other stuff, too. I'll have to check my list. Well, you know what? Well, we'll get into this later, but there's a lot of stuff going on today.
There's a lot.
Yeah, but in the weeks ahead.
Hopefully you're in your car driving to one of these unbelievable events that are happening today.
That's right. Yeah.
If you're not, what are you sitting around waiting for? Get outside. Go see your neighbors.
You have to go check out the mutton busting over at the Tucson Rodeo Grounds.
That's right.
Little kids riding sheep.
Kind of reminds you of being a kid here in Tucson, doesn't it, Fred?
Oh, gosh. Yes,
making our way down the old dusty trail to St. Peter and Paul.
On our sheep. All right. So we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can actually subscribe to the Fred and Jeff Show on iTunes. If you go to fredandjeff.com and you click on the current events button, we have links to all sorts of crazy stuff going on in our community. And you can also see pictures of Jeff and me and our guests and things that we do while we're not on the air.
No. When was the last time we posted pictures of us doing stuff that didn't happen here in the studio?
Probably that time when the new space capsule came through town at the P. Marin Space Museum. But that was me in a cool NASA astronaut. You weren't there.
Yeah. How come I didn't get invited to that deal?
You were invited to that. You had something else going on. But anyways, tonight, Jeffrey, one of our favorite places.
Isn't that a song?
What?
Isn't that a song?
Tonight, Jeffrey?
No, just the tonight part. Tonight, tonight. Fred's going to get on with it tonight.
Yeah, probably. So at the Fox, one of our favorite places downtown, is Oscar night at the Fox. They're going to be showing the 85th Annual Academy Awards. And if you dress up in your Academy Award, your red carpet fineries, you can go down there and have a great time. And enjoy the Oscars at the Fox. The DeGrazia Way of the Cross exhibition is going on through, I think, May, but it's DeGrazia's rendition, interpretation of the Stations of the Cross and plus the Resurrection. So there's actually 15 pieces involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said before, today is the last day of the rodeo. And Jeffrey, in a couple weeks, ATC is kicking up a new show. I think this is the one you were waiting for.
Yes.
Sunshine Boys.
Awesome.
The first few weeks of March, the Sunshine Boys will be rolling over at ATC.
Pretty excited about that one.
Very excited about this. Now, Jeffrey, we still need a couple people to fill out our team.
Our team fell apart?
Well.
You're doing the worst job recruiting people.
I just get flaky people. They say, yeah, we want to do it, and then then they fall out.
I have a hard time believing that any of our listeners are flaky. Are you flaky out there?
Well, I'm flaky.
Don't be flaky. Join the Fred and Jeff.
The Beat Cancer Boot Camp Challenge team. Squad. Actually, it's squad.
Squad, yeah.
It's a military thing. But down at Brandy Fenton Park on March 16th, Saturday, March 16th at 7:30 a.m. sharp, it's a 3K obstacle course. And the obstacles have been created by members of our law enforcement folks, public safety. Davis Mountain Air Force Base is going to have some of the squadrons out there are going to have some obstacles. So we'll be running around through all sorts of obstacles, including at the very end, the mother of all mother mud pits.
Beautiful.
That you get to swim through.
Beautiful.
Finally, Jeffrey.
No, there's more.
Well.
Finally for your list, I got some stuff.
Yeah, this is, and I know you love this stuff. Tucson Roller Derby.
I love it.
Yeah, so this is actually not the Tucson Roller Derby. It's the Derby Brats, which are the girls who are 17 and younger, and they play just as good, just as well as the more mature ladies. But they're having... The first ever Junior Devil Southwest Regional Junior Roller Derby Tournament.
And how old are these young ladies?
I think the youngest is 13, but it's 13 to 17.
Wow.
And they're pretty tough gals. And this is like a multi-state event. It's the first of its type for a junior league. The Tucson Saddle Brats, which are the home team, the Derby Brats. The Phoenix Derby Brats. San Fernando Valley Brats. Las Cruces Minor Threat. And the Rocky Mountain Roller Punks are going to be rolling around the flat track at the at Tucson Roller Derby's Rec House. So if you go to fredandjeff.com, click on upcoming events, you can get all the information on the Derby Brats tournament coming up sometime in March.
Are you
actually
done?
March 16th and 17th.
Okay, good. Are you done with that one?
I'm done with that one, yeah.
Good
sure.
times. Because you know what you forgot?
I forgot a lot of stuff.
You forgot the 20th annual Southwest Indian Arts Fair.
No, actually, that was on my list, but I thought
today,
you know, we're running out of time.
Arizona State Museum. Got to go there. Got to hit that. And what about horse racing at Rito? Or as our friends from back east say, Rolito. Horse racing at the Rito.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know you can get a certificate of urban forestry at the Tucson Botanical Gardens?
So you can have a little forest in your backyard?
Doesn't that sound fun? And, of course, yoga in the gardens. So, dude, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on out there. Folks should get out, meet your neighbors. There's a, you know what, I want to read a line to you, and maybe this will spur people to get out there.
Is this what, Hemingway?
It's close. It's from this book called My Happy Life. And the line is, the people I never knew, who never knew me, how I miss them. You know, get out and meet your neighbors, man. That's what makes Tucson a great community. So, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to two fabulous people that make Tucson a great community. And we might even meet the lady that wrote that line. So, folks, stick around here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Black sheep lays around drinking wine all day. Reading poetry and laying in the grass. Ask him for a drink, he'll give you a glass.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the Fred and Jeff Show on iTunes, where they will just about let anybody
Okay, but you know what you keep forgetting is, remember, there is an application for anyone with a Google phone, anyone that runs the Google software on the phone, there's an app called Beyond iPod. Beyond iPod.
Yeah.
And you can download all the podcasts. Or no, maybe it's called Beyond Podcast. One moment, please,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
While Jeff is figuring
Beyond
that one
out. Beyond Podcast. And you can download. So you don't need an iTunes account.
Well, okay.
You can get this app called Beyond Podcast, and you can hear everybody.
Yeah, well,
including Fred and Jeff.
Well, and you can go to fredandjeff.com and actually download all the shows, too.
That's true. Nice work, Fred.
Thank you very much.
So who are we talking to today?
I don't know. I mean, you're quoting people. You know,
did some research this week.
Yeah. I think this is the one show of the year where you actually do research.
What's wrong with that? Everyone else is like low-hanging fruit. Okay. So what do you do? Well, you know, I help refugees. And, well, that's awesome. Tell me more about that. What do you do? Well, you know, we're having a tomato fest. Oh, that's cool. Tell me about that. But when you're actually going to talk to an author, you want to kind of get an idea of what it is that they write.
Well, they could tell you. So you write a book. What's that like?
You know what? Let's introduce our guest, because I would like to know if she's ever heard that question before.
All right. So with us, well, okay, in a couple of weeks we have the celebrated the fourth annual Tucson Festival of Books.
That is incorrect.
Fifth annual?
That is correct.
Let's get that right. Fifth annual.
No, you know what I was thinking about? This is the fourth largest festival in the country.
Very good.
Okay, so
you got out of that one.
No, I did not. I just got my numbers screwed up. But yes. With us in studio is one of the founders, co-founder of the Festival of Books, and he's been with us for the last couple of years. Bill.
Oh, he
Viner.
Doesn't get the icon moniker. Tucson icon and all around good guy.
We had a discussion off camera about this.
You don't think he's a good guy? I know.
No, you told me to stop calling people icons.
Yeah, but of all people.
All right, he is the iconic guy. There should be a bronze sculpture in the middle of the U of A Mall saying, "The man, the myth, the legend. This is the guy that started the Festival of Books." And then everyone can walk by, pay homage, and then go check out some really great authors.
Does he owe you money?
Well, man, that'd be unbelievable. So, I'd be right there with Button Salmon. I don't think anybody would be interested in seeing that that bronze statue.
Yeah, you could be right next to Mr. Salmon there.
Yeah, that would be something. I love the campus, and just the fact that this book festival is on the campus makes it that much more special.
Yeah, so this is the fifth annual, the fourth largest in the country, and after 5 years.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes.
So let's take a step back.
Okay.
Who are we talking to today?
I already said Bill Viner.
Bill Viner. How are you doing today, Bill?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on. It's always a pleasure. You guys are terrific.
Well, thank you. Ask us some questions. We're happy to tell you anything you'd like to know.
I already asked you guys to be moderators, and you accepted.
Yes.
And that was a big deal for the festival.
I got to tell you, Fred, you know what my session is?
Yes, I do.
Human Frailty and Complexity.
Wow.
That's going to be deep. I may need more than an hour.
You only get an hour, Jeff.
Darn it.
That's it. But your authors are just incredible.
My authors are off the chart.
Louis Araya,
right?
Adam Mansbach, and Chang Ray Lee.
That's right.
Three of the best authors. This is a session that you would not want to miss. Even if Jeff wasn't doing it, you wouldn't want to miss it.
I'm probably just going to bring it down a little bit.
No.
You know, I just hope to be in the background with my books to get signatures. It's going to be good times, though. That's Sunday of the book festival at 10 o'clock in the morning at the U of A. So,
let's take a bigger step back, and let's talk about the festival, how it started.
Well, let's take a bigger step back and say, are you a native of Tucson?
No, I feel like a native, but actually I grew up in Texas, San Antonio. Came here to go to school a few years ago and stuck around. Really, you know, this is my home.
And your day job is a home builder.
Yes, that's correct.
And so when did you jump into home building right after college?
No, actually, I piddled around in real estate for a little bit, sold some real estate, and then decided, you know, I wanted to do something a little bit different and decided that home building would be interesting. So started that in actually built some apartments before that and then got into the home building business in the early 90s.
Oh, wow, in the early 90s.
Right.
So there's quite a bit of time there between your graduating from U of A and getting an own building.
That's true.
Is that when you spent a lot of time in Florence?
No. Actually, I got rejected from Florence. No one wanted me there. So.
She doesn't like anybody. So you had multiple careers between college graduation and home building?
No, it was all real estate related. Did a little development. Did some manufactured home communities, built some apartments, little small retail, small stuff, and then decided we were interested in expanding a little bit into a different market and started looking at building some homes, and that's how Pepper Viner Homes was created.
So when did the literary bug bite you?
You know, the literary bug probably bit us about...
Us?
Actually, it bit my wife and I.
Oh, okay.
So it was about 6.5 years ago, and I'm not sure it was the bug that bit us, but it was about doing something else for the community. We'd have been involved in a number of large events, and our friends who live in L.A., who are really book people, had always just raved about the L.A. Times Festival of Books, so they encouraged us to come over, and we did that, and we toured it, and my wife and I both looked at each other and said, you know, Tucson could use something like this, and I don't know if it'll be as big and grandiose as the one in L.A., but I think over time we can grow this to be something that the community would be proud of, and we're very proud to just be part of it.
Well, give our listeners an idea of the first year you had it, 5 years ago, how many folks attended and how many authors attended?
You know, I think in the first year we had about 300 authors, and I think we estimated we had 50,000 plus people that first year.
And what do you anticipate this year?
This year we anticipate over 120,000 people.
Wow. That's amazing. How many authors?
Over 400 authors.
And so
400 authors, and there's over 300 presentations, 60 workshops. There's literally anything for anybody that has any interest in culture, literature, current events, history, biography, plants, science, sci-fi, literary fiction, you name it, there'll be somebody at the book festival talking about it.
And how do you the authors, a lot of these authors are actually, this is a destination point for them. Their agents are sort of, you know, making the, you don't have to reach out a whole lot anymore. People are calling you.
Well, it's certainly more than they did the first and second year. But, and part of that is because we took a trip to New York to visit with all the major publishing houses so we could meet face-to-face with them, tell them a little bit about the festival, and get and encourage them to send their authors to us. And so there's probably about 100 authors that come from out of Arizona, maybe more than that, out of the 400. There's about 300 presenting authors, and then there's about 100 that are in different venues around the festival, whether they're in exhibitor booths or in what we call the author pavilion.
How do you and your wife pull this off?
Well, we couldn't have done it alone. And so when we had this idea, we met with Bruce Beach and then John Umanek and Frank Frias at the University of Arizona. And kind of everybody was thinking about the same idea. And it just kind of coalesced. And they helped all of us founded this event. And then we reached out to friends throughout the community and formed this steering committee that is about 20 people. And we broke it up into committees. And this committee works year-round. And on the subcommittees themselves, there's probably 200 plus people that work year round, plus the 1600 people that really bring it to life on the weekend of the festival. So a lot of volunteers, a lot of people, and it's no one person. It's really a community effort that's made this happen.
So you must have a massive budget to pay all these people to help put this thing on.
That's good, Jeff.
Softball question.
You're funny. Anyway, it's all volunteer driven, and actually, you know, I appreciate you mentioning that because we still need a couple hundred volunteers. So anybody out there listening, it's not too late to sign up. Go to TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org, and there's a whole menu of volunteer opportunities, and we could use the help.
And what do you do with all the money you guys raise?
And we don't pay those people, Jeff.
I don't think you pay anybody, do you?
All the money that we raise, and we're very proud to say that we've raised, in the first 4 years, $700,000 has gone back to the community to improve literacy in Southern Arizona. So give money to Reading Seed, Literacy Connects. The University of Arizona actually has a program for young children. So it all goes back to the community.
The U of A doesn't have a program for incoming freshmen for literacy, though, right?
no comment, Jeff.
Fred and I are products of the U of A.
Yeah, that would have helped me a lot.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well,
and we
amazing.
All did okay. I mean, people knock the University of Arizona. It's a great institution.
No, nobody knocks.
Nobody
not
knocks the
room.
Harvard of the
okay,
West.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Nobody. Good. No.
You should
not.
Because there's, academically, Science City, I mean, this place is on the move.
Yeah, there's an alleged institution to the north of us that we love making fun of, but U of A is.
You mean Tempe Normal? I understand that they're getting their enrollment up over a couple thousand now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. They've got a great bovine project going on up there.
They don't have a book festival.
We
have a book festival.
They don't have heart and soul up there in Central Arizona like we do.
No, they have a satanic mascot. And that's
it. Here we go. So, well, good for you. That is outstanding what you guys have been able to pull off. And this isn't the first thing you guys have spearheaded, is it?
Well, we've been involved in some other events, so large community events, and we're proud of those as well. Fort Lowell Shootout, we worked hard on that, and Kids Fest, some other opportunities throughout the community.
And just as a way of mentoring, maybe somebody out there that's listening, what drives you to do this?
Well, you know, no one's ever asked me that, Jeff, so I don't know if there's really something driving me to do it. One is that I think I probably get more out of it than I put into it. Plus, I mean, I live in this community. I want this community to continue to grow and thrive and be a better place for my children and my children's children and everybody else's children's children. And I think that's what it's all about.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for what you do.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I'm sure all of our listeners are out there thinking the same thing, so we appreciate it.
Well, volunteer. That would be a big help.
Okay. Where can they go again to volunteer?
TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org website. And plus, you'll learn everything you want to know about the book festival there, all the authors and all the different activities.
And you guys have an application, too.
We do.
And people want to download that app onto their phone, that you just find Tucson Festival of Books?
Yes. And actually, I think you can go to TucsonFestivalBooks.org. It'll tell you how to do that. But there is an app, and it's available for the iPhone and the Android and I think the new BlackBerry as well.
Yeah, actually, it's sitting right in front of me, and I'm looking at our next guest's profile.
Yeah? Is she cute?
Well, she looks kind of angry in this picture.
Uh-oh.
Is the one beside the trailer?
Wonder what happened in the trailer. We're going to talk about that in the second part of the show. All right, folks, we have got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, and our fabulous friend Jim's going to play some crazy music for you. And we'll see you on the other side of the ads here on the Fred and Jeff Show. The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and download the program on iTunes. And then, Jeff, what was that little thing?
Beyond Podcast. It's an app for the Android.
And you can get us there, too.
Yep.
Along with everybody else who podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
So we are talking all things books today. The Tucson Festival of Books is coming up. And, Bill, just remind us real quick, it's a whole weekend.
Who are we talking to, Fred?
Bill, I'm sorry. This is Radio 101. I forget once in a while. So in the studio with us, right, we've been talking to Bill Viner, who is one of the co-founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. And Bill, what are the dates on
March 9th and 10th on the University of Arizona campus? That's a Saturday and a Sunday. The event's free. All the parking's free. So. I don't know what Jeff's laughing about.
Whenever I hear someone say free parking, I think of the Blues Brothers. You know, when Jake and Elle were in that car driving around going, free parking. Tonight's ladies' night. Sorry.
Anyway, pick out one of those seven garages, find a place to park, and come join us at the Tucson Festival of Books.
And this thing is like all over campus. It's not just the mall anymore.
Well, actually, the mall serves as kind of the spine for the event.
Right.
And that's where all the exhibitors and outdoor presentation tents are and the entertainment tents. But then on either side of the mall, actually, we go a little bit past Cherry now because that's where Science City is located. If you've never been to that portion of the festival, it's incredible. It's truly an educational opportunity for adults and kids. But then on either side of the mall are the indoor venues, and there's 35 venues for presentations. And I mentioned earlier, there's over 300 author presentations throughout the weekend.
Right. Well, do us a favor. So start on the east end of the mall, Campbell and Third or University, and sort of walk us through going west.
Okay. Well, in the Giddings Gym this year, there's going to be bot ball. You're going to have robots playing some type of ball out there, and then you'll come to Science City, which is just on the east side of Cherry, and there's a whole array of science activities. And this is science for the common man, so anybody can come there and have these hands-on activities. It's not just for kids, it's for adults as well. There's also tours right there, so you can tour the Mirror Lab and various other buildings in the science community that are on campus. Then you go a little further west, just across the street, and you'll run into the Overdrive Bus, which is a digital about digital books that comes here every year to join the festival. And you just go a little further, and there's a literary circus going on. So, and it's a circus, a real live circus that performs, you know, circus acts to literary themes. Then you go a little further, and there's the TMC family entertainment area, and then there's some outdoor presentation areas, large stages, and then there's the culinary. A little to the north is a large children's area. We're giving away 5,000 free books at that children's area. There's an entertainment stage, and at the north end of that's the education building, and that's where the indoor presentations are. You keep going a little further, all the way almost to Old Main, and at the other end of the mall is Arizona Daily Star tent. So, and in the middle, a giant food court, 600 seats, 9 local restaurants. So if you get hungry after you a draining presentation, you can get a bite to eat or something to drink.
Or grab a book from one of the authors after you've had it inscribed. You can just go sit and enjoy out in the
Absolutely.
Al fresco.
And
Absolutely.
Who are some of the authors going to be?
Thanks for asking. You know, R.L. Stine is back, and I don't know if you all recognize that name, but he's the Goosebumps.
He still owes me $20, too. I'm getting it this year.
But I put this on your calendar. 10 o'clock Saturday morning, R.L. Stine has sold 400 million books.
Holy mackerel.
Do you believe that? I mean, it's all about getting kids to read for him. So he's this year's Founders Award winner. And we're very excited to have him back. Larry McMurtry and Diana O'Sana are coming back. John Sayles, who is the writer, director, wrote Ape Man Out, and actually we're going to show his film on University Boulevard.
It's a great movie.
On Saturday night. Quinn Cummings is probably a name you might not recognize, but she was up for Best Supporting Actress for Goodbye Girl a number of years ago. Now she's turned literary, is writing a few books, so she's going to be there. Big names, Jodi Picoult, Robert Crace, Ted Danson is going to be here. Yep. Ted Danson and Nevada Bar are going to be here helping Western National Park celebrate their 75th anniversary.
Wait, are we talking the same Ted Danson from Cheers?
That's the guy.
Wow.
That's the guy. So we're excited about that. And C-SPAN's back. Number of different programs. But, you know, let's talk to Lydia.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Lydia.
Good idea.
You heard her voice a little bit earlier. Lydia Millett, who is one of the writers, authors, who's going to be at the big festival. She's a presenting author. And Jeffrey, I think that you were quoting.
Yeah, I quoted one of Lydia's works. But this is how Lydia's been described. She pays no attention to herself, and she's able to see beauty and wonder everywhere. And her trademark themes are evolution and extinction, children and parenthood, and loss and wonder. Supposedly, Lydia, you have got an unbelievable sense of humor. Welcome to the Friend Jeff Show.
It's not going to be on display today.
I'm sorry.
You just ruined the whole thing.
I have to tell you, I picked up your short stories, and I read your short story about Madonna. Very, very funny. And I'm reading your My Happy Life. It's unbelievable. It's a great, great book.
Oh, so kind of you to say so. That one's close to my heart.
Yeah. So tell us about you. Where are you from?
Well, let's see. My entire life story from the day I was born.
If I don't know. Do we have that much time?
Absolutely.
It's not that long, actually.
Okay. Extend the time.
We have about...
Yeah, Sitton's not going to be happy. He's going to be in here in about 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I've lived here in Tucson since for about 14 years now because I love it. I moved here only because I love the desert, this particular desert. I just fell in love with it. When I was briefly a grad student back in 1990 before I dropped out ignominiously from the University of Arizona, your alma mater.
Our alma mater.
Yes, of course, our collective
right.
alma mater. Except that I'm the only dropout, I guess. Anyway, I fell in love with the Sonoran Desert, and so I moved here from Manhattan about 14 years ago.
But that accent's not from Manhattan.
No, well, no, I grew up in Toronto for the most part, though I'm not Canadian, but I was born in Boston, and my father got a job up there. And so, I spent from when I was about 2 till I went to college in Canada.
And here you are in Tucson.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy here.
So what did you do before you became this world-renowned author?
I wept and wished for my day in the sun. I wished for my day in the sun, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
No, what did I do? You know, I've had a very odd sort of series of jobs in my life. It's only really the last 15 years that I've been writing exclusively. But I've worked at various environmental organizations. I also worked at Hustler magazine at a certain point. I was the
In front or behind the camera?
you know that I was not in front of the camera. Come on,
because
take
Fred
a look
and I would
me.
Be downloading that issue right now, wouldn't we?
I actually corrected the grammar and spelling of our writers at Hustler magazine for about 2 years in Beverly Hills. That was when I first dropped out of the University of Arizona, and I hightailed it to Larry Flint Publications.
Okay, so when you tell that story, say you left ASU and went to work for Mr. Flint.
No, why? A U of A grad or U of A student going to work for Hustler magazine? It's good times.
You know, it was hard to get a job back then, I have to say, and I was lucky to have one.
Is it true? I've heard this, it's, you know, maybe these apocryphal stories of writers and authors, but I hear that a lot of authors get their start by writing letters to those magazines. Like, dear so-and-so, I never thought this would happen to me.
I don't know. That was not how I began.
No, but I'm saying, I mean, authors, I mean...
Did I meet many famous... Actually, there were a lot of really interesting people on staff there. It was sort of this pool of underpaid and overeducated talent that we were all sort of rejects from, you know, CalArts or... and various writers, actually. And I worked with me. Richard Lang is one of them. Various. One guy became a professor at Dartmouth who was my office mate for a while. So it was a really sort of motley crew, but just young people just looking to make a living, really.
And find their vocation.
And, of course, find their vocation amongst the pornography magazines.
Did you know that you always wanted to write?
You know, I was going to be an opera singer. When I was really young, I trained classically to sing. But I soon discovered I just didn't have the personality for that. I like to sing in the shower, but not really in public.
Right.
I always had been just an avid reader, and I've always read. It's just always been sort of where I lived. Books have always been where I lived.
And do you remember the first book you read that really kind of struck you, kind of left you in awe that, man, I need to do this?
The Lorax by Dr. Seuss.
No kidding.
I love The Lorax. I still love Dr. Seuss today. I just think Dr. Seuss was a great genius. Read him to my kids all the time.
Well, that sort of folds into how you became an environmentalist. I mean, that theme.
That's exactly right.
Hank? Yeah. Oh, that's exactly right, Hank. That's an old thing we say around here every once in a while.
Well, really? Something Jeff tries to say all the time, but he's got to work it in somehow.
Okay, right on. I'm glad I could.
That's what she said, right, Fred? We're very intrigued about how you made that jump. You read The Lorax. You thought, wow, this is a kind of book that stirs the imagination of children and adults alike, and it's got a wonderful message. I can do this.
You know, I actually didn't think I could do it until later. Maybe in college was when I started to think that I might end up writing, and around then I was stopping singing.
How old were you when you read The Lorax for the first time?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure it was read to me when I was just a tot, you know. And then I went on to C.S. Lewis. I love the Narnia books. They were huge for me as a kid.
I read them every couple of years.
Oh, me too. I love them. I love them. I read everything as a kid coming up. And so I think it was just sort of the natural place for me to end up was telling lies for a living.
We call it making stories
in my
house. So, all right, folks, we got to take a super quick break, pay the bills, and we'll be right back to talk to Lydia Millett. So stick around.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download this stellar tome of wisdom and insight off of iTunes.
That's just because Mom says that.
No,
I
say
you
that
guys
because...
are just putting together a tome of stellar wisdom. And I look at her going, what? And you're like, yes, Mom, we are. We're fabulous. It must be that firstborn thing, Fred.
I just don't know what universe you live in.
We got to get Kevin Lehman on the show to kind of critique.
Yeah, actually,
firstborn.
I have a call into that guy.
Dysfunctional middle child, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And then we'll have Christy on the phone.
Our sister, our little sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she won't say anything. Well, so anyhow, we're here today at the Fred and Jeff Show.
We're talking about the Festival of Books coming up. And we were talking with Bill Viner, one of the co-founders. And right before the break, we were talking with Lydia Millett, who is one of the presenting authors at the big festival, one of more than 400, right, Bill?
More than 400 authors. Not all of them are presenting, but most of them are.
That's right.
But Lydia is one of the standouts.
And this is the fifth annual Tucson Festival of Books, and the fourth largest in the country. So happy about that.
So, yes. Thank you, Mr. Viner.
So I'm just trying to... See how Jeff is like wagging his arm real
quick? I got questions, man. You're blowing time.
I know. I'm just, right, just so to harass you.
Here's the thing. I'm on the app for the Festival of Books. Millett is the author of 9 books, including a story collection, Love in Infant Monkeys, a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, a novel, How the Dead Dream, was an LA Times best book in 2008. My Happy Life won the 2003 Penn USA Award for Fiction. And you're going to be doing a couple of things. You're going to be doing the historical fiction and the writers on writing seminars. And you said you're also going to be reading at your kids' booth, the Greenfields booth.
That's right, yeah.
Cool beans.
I know.
But I got... Okay, so you and I we emailed back and forth before the show, and you kind of pointed me in the direction of the books that you wanted to talk about. And one of the books you didn't show me, but I found on Kindle, was My Happy Life. And I thought, well, that's an interesting title. I should check it out. And I read it, and I could not put the thing down. It is an amazing story about a lady who has nothing bad to say about anything. It's an amazing story. Where were you in your life that you could write such a wonderful, wonderful novel?
Well, you know, I was living in New York, and I was at the tag end of my 20s. And I realized at a certain moment that my friends and I spent a lot of our time criticizing other people and sort of defining ourselves by what we didn't like in the world. And so I wished to sort of repudiate this way of being. And maybe it was just that I was getting older, you know. But anyway, I set out to write a book that was sort of a vision of a utopian personality, that was sort of everything that I wasn't at that moment in my life. I wanted to write a voice that was devoid of judgment, that was sort of infinitely generous. And I also wanted to show what could happen to a person with such sensibility and such character. And so I wrote My Happy Life, which sounds like a very sad story, but in fact, to my way of thinking, is not a sad story at all.
I think it's very uplifting. I mean, I really
do.
Because even though the main character, she is really not in a good space because of where she is between her ears. She's in the best space.
That was what I set out to write, yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you guys out there listening to the show, if you read one book this year, like me...
You've only read one
book? I've read... That was a joke, Fred. I said that was a joke from my buddy John Fina, you know, who has one feeling.
Come on, Jeff.
Anyhow, this is the book to read, My Happy Life, Lydia Millett. And then you back that up years later with this trilogy of books about... I mean, I know you don't want to talk about where do you get your inspiration to write this stuff, but I got to tell you, your books are amazing because you're able to have humor and be kind of cut to the quick at the same time in a non... I mean, I didn't think you were being judgmental or malicious. You're just... You've found these characters who are very kind of everyman, and you've kind of put a really cool spin on them. Is this all just like people that you've met in your life or... people who you wish you would meet in your life, or how do you find these people to write about?
Well, these people are made up. I think there's only a couple of people in my books that are at all based on actual people I've known. They're mostly just total figments. But for example, I wrote a book once called Everyone's Pretty, which was in part based on my time working at Hustler magazine. And there was a character in that who's this messianic, he has sort of messianic delusions of grandeur, but he's a pornographer. and he was sort of based on a couple of people that I worked with there. But generally, I just make up stuff out of whole cloth. This most recent book, Magnificence, is the last one in this trilogy that's all about, it's sort of about personal loss and extinction, the extinction of animals and plants that's going on. And it sort of weaves those two together. It's three different protagonists in the three different books. So the first one's told from the point of view of this real estate developer, like Bill Viner. No, not at all like him. But who I actually love all my characters, by the way, so it's never a diss. But who sort of has this breakdown after his girlfriend dies and starts breaking into zoos to be near creatures that are rare and that are dying out. And then the second book is told from the point of view of someone connected to him only sort of vaguely, who is an IRS guy, an IRS agent.
Doesn't his wife work for him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then the third book is from her point of view after Hal goes off to find T, who's who has disappeared in Belize in the jungle. The third book is when Susan inherits this vast mansion from a great uncle that she never really knew, and the mansion is full of taxidermy. And sort of all moth-eaten and falling apart. And she's initially repulsed, but grows to sort of love this strange bestiary that she now owns. And
then she has to fight off her family from ruining it.
Right. There are some relatives who might wish to also have the inheritance. But yeah, so that's a sort of beeline in the plot. But.
That's very cool. And earlier during the break, you were telling us that something here locally was the inspiration for you to write a book as well.
Well, I have been passingly fascinated by the by all the mounts at the International Wildlife Museum. Although I'm more of a desert museum kind of gal, really. But the International Wildlife Museum is intriguing in sort of I've always liked the way that natural history is presented by the conquerors, you know. Like, I love dioramas, sort of like 19th century dioramas, you know. And so that place, you know, I wanted to write about it in some way that wasn't direct. Joy Williams also has written about the International Wildlife Museum, excellent, you know, writer who's more or less local. And so, yeah, that was partly the inspiration. And also my uncle in Georgia has a house that has a lot of taxidermy in it. And he claims it was all like roadkill, that he didn't actually. That's the claim. Yeah. But I'm quite intrigued by taxidermy. Not the first to have written about it fictionally, that's for sure.
So living in Tucson and being a big fan of the Sonoran Desert, where do you find yourself? Where's your happiest place to write? Where do you find the creative juices flow?
Well, it's funny, you know, before I had children, I actually did write at the Desert Museum. I would go and just sit in the cafe there. But now I'm just sort of a nomad because I have to bring my children into town. We live out in Avra Valley. And so I bring them into town to school, and then I have to go from coffee shop to library to sometimes I even write at the gym.
So
I'm just this sort of nomad during the day because I don't want to cross back over the mountains.
You haven't made it up to the De Grazia studio. Fred, what was that, the De Grazia you were talking about earlier? It's got the Stations of the Cross?
Yeah.
And that is, isn't that on North Swan?
Yeah, it's Swan and Sunrise.
What's it called, the De Grazia?
Keep on talking, I'll come
okay.
with it.
That place is incredible to go to and kind of hang out. And
it's like the Gallery of the Sun or something
like amazing. That. It's amazing. I'd be interested to see what happens to you when you go up there and how inspired you might become.
Right on. That's interesting. Yeah, I generally tend to circulate more in the Northwest because that's where my kid's school is right now. But I wish that weren't the case because there are plenty of other parts of Tucson I would enjoy spending time in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thanks for coming in today. You know, we wish you continued success.
Well, thanks so much. And the book festival is such a great thing, and it's just amazing that it's really blown up so quickly. I've never known a book festival to grow this quickly, and so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Have you been to the others?
I think I've been to everyone except one, maybe, here in Tucson. Yeah, every year except one year, I might not have gone.
And other book festivals in other
cities?
Oh yeah,
I've been to the LA Times one. I've been to a lot of festivals, and this is definitely ranks up with those. You know, it's amazing.
That's great to hear. Well, thanks so much for coming in and chatting a little bit with us about your work today.
And I'm sorry I couldn't display my sense of humor.
There you got it. And Bill Viner, thanks again. Gosh, what you do for Tucson is, you know, you're really making your mark in this community. How humble you are. We really, really appreciate what you and your wife have accomplished for all of us.
It's a lot more than my wife and I. It's a huge volunteer event.
Well, speaking of that, we have a couple minutes. Let's talk about the major sponsors and remind us of the dates again.
Thanks. The dates are March 9th and 10th. That's a Saturday and Sunday on the University of Arizona campus. And the University of Arizona is one of our primary sponsors. Obviously, they open up their entire campus to us. The Arizona Daily Star is our primary media sponsor.
John Humanek.
John Humanek and his entire staff. It's a hands-on activity for them.
You know, Humanek would be just about perfect if he wasn't a Cincinnati Reds fan.
You know, he's writing a book on baseball.
I don't doubt it.
So someday you'll have to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. He'd be a lot of fun to talk about baseball.
Yeah, we'll hear what he has to say about the Pirates.
He loves the Pirates.
And the University of Arizona Medical Center is our presenting sponsor. So there's lots of sponsors. Those three are our primary, but every sponsor makes a significant contribution to the festival.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. You guys, you both of you make Tucson a great place to live. Thank you very much.
You guys are great, and we'll see you at the festival.
All right.
Fred, thanks,
you
guys. Giveaway?
Yeah, one of our sponsors, Mayfield Florist, Don Coleman, and the Coleman family, first person to give us the title of one of our guests' books.
No, go with the first job, you know, Hustler Magazine and all that stuff.
All right. You do. All right. Tell us Lydia's first job. You get a dozen roses from Mayfield Florist.
And, folks, we'll see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.